for you a 10-step program to attain the virtue of purity. So let's jump in. There's a lot to cover in a relatively short time, as always. Well, you got your pencils and your thinking caps on? Okay. Title is the 10-step program to attain the virtue of purity. Beautiful picture. Do you know what feast day we celebrate tomorrow? Well, I'll tell you. Tomorrow we celebrate the Annunciation, right? It's one of the chief solemnities in the Catholic Church. So tomorrow is the feast day of the Annunciation, when Mary said yes to the angel and our Lord came down from heaven to earth. So it's a great feast day tomorrow. It also happens to be my baptism day. Amen? I consider that very important. I was baptized in Michigan, not Michoacan. Okay? Not that? So, let's start our worksheet. Our life, our whole life is a battle. This battle wages ferociously in every person until the moment of death. The battle is waged between good and evil, light and darkness, the devil against the good angels, the spirit of truth against the father of lies. In fact, the Bible teaches us that if we want to follow the Lord, we must prepare ourselves for the battle. This battle is so serious that the end result of the battle is either eternal life with God and His angels and His saints and His Holy Mother, or to be condemned forever to the realm of darkness, the eternal fire, and the unending company of Satan and of all the devils. Either of the two places is eternal, forever and ever and ever. One of the principal battles waged on a daily basis is to attain the challenging virtue of purity or chastity. Jesus expressed the recompense in these clear and unequivocal words: "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." As soldiers plan a military strategy, as athletes prepare seriously for competition, as debaters study to see the errors in their opponents, and wrestlers size up the weak points of their opponents, so should we as soldiers of Christ have our own spiritual strategy. Being ignorant or naive or ingenuous today can be fatal for all of us in our battle to attain the virtue of purity. Jesus stated that the children of this world are often more astute than the children of light. For that reason, Jesus also said that we must be as simple as doves, but also as astute as serpents. Heaven is our goal. We should always have before our spiritual gaze the purpose of our existence. Our life is both short and uncertain. But our true purpose in life is to know God, serve God, love God, avoid sin in this life so as to be happy with God for all eternity in heaven. Following will be 10 concrete steps or measures so that we can attain the virtue of purity and contemplate the face of God for now and for all eternity. So here's a 10-step program for us. Number one is prayer. Okay, Jesus says this. I'll give you a biblical verse and I'll summarize it in three words. Okay? Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. So, let's summarize it with an acronym. You heard me say, ask, seek, and knock. So it's the A, S, put A-S-K. And next to A-S-K, put ask, seek, knock. Okay? Ask, seek, knock. Ask for it, seek for it, keep knocking for it. Okay, the second is determination. Saint Teresa of Avila says, with respect to growth in prayer, that we should all arm ourselves with a determined determination to persevere. So, write down. Our spiritual life is like a marathon. Our spiritual life is like a marathon. Well, some of you will eventually maybe do cross-country running. Okay? Any of you ever done cross-country running? It's not a sprint, no? When I was your age, it was 2.5 miles. It might be up to three miles, but it's a long-distance run, and a lot of people drop out. We're going to make sure that we don't drop out along the way. We've got to run until we break the tape, huh? So see our life as a long-distance run, and we've got to make sure that we break the tape and don't conk out along the way. Don't run out of gas, huh? Okay, the third is control the eyes. Remember what was one of the leading causes of the sin of David? So what did David do? David allowed his eyes to wander and he looked upon a married woman. Then he invited her down to his palace and they didn't pray the rosary or read the Psalms, unfortunately. Okay? They didn't pray the rosary, nor did they read the 150 Psalms. No? They committed adultery. What is adultery? It doesn't mean disobeying the adults, okay? Adultery means he took the wife of one of the soldiers. Had relations with her, she got pregnant, and then sent her husband on the front line of battle, pulled back the troops, and her husband was killed. So he didn't watch over his eyes. He committed adultery. After adultery, ends up by committing murder. That's often the same process of abortion. Abortion, you break the sixth commandment, then you end up by breaking the fifth commandment. Often that's the case. So we want to make a concerted effort to watch, control our eyes, which are the window of the soul. Okay, now, the use of the internet. Okay, I'm going to ask you to write down, this is a very famous radio host. Very famous radio host is called Relevant Radio. Write down his name, Patrick Madrid. He's very famous. Probably among the most famous K Catholic radio hosts in the world, definitely in this country. He's on every morning from 6 to 9, and then he's repeated from 6 to 9 in the evening. So age factor, he says, you should have your cell phone when you're 17. Okay? He says 17. Now, probably most of you already have it, but he insists that 17 would be a good year when you're going into maybe your senior year in high school. Okay? And then after you go to high school to college, then you have to have access to the internet, of course. So what he says is, if you put it in the balance, there's a lot of good that can be utilized by having access to the internet. A lot of good. But there's a lot of trash out there, too. And you put in the balance, the good and the bad, with respect to the salvation of your soul, the bad is going to outweigh the good. Now, very few people agree with that. And your parents probably gave you a phone when you were 12 or 13. But how easy it is to get involved in looking at things that are not good. And before you know it, you're looking at it more often. And before you know it, you already become addicted to it. And you're not even 17 yet. You already have an addiction to downloading and looking at bad things. So if you look at it on a balance with respect to the salvation of your soul, because we want to get to heaven and we don't want to lose our soul, put on the balance when you're discerning. And this is a man that he's got 11 children, so he's got a lot of experience with kids, no? And I don't know how many grandchildren. And he's been around the block. He's already in his mid-60s. So he says, not until you're 17. So very few people abide by that. Not to have a cell phone until they're 17. That's Patrick Madrid. And he's very firm on that. So if you put it in the balance, the good and the bad, there's a lot of good you have out there. But the temptation to get involved in bad things is, for many, for teenagers, it's overpowering. And once you start to look at something bad, you're tempted to look at it again, then again, then again. Before you know, I mean, you're an addict. And then it may take another 50 years to be able to break that habit. Maybe 50, maybe never. And you could lose your soul. We already talked about that. Lady Fatima said most souls are lost because of this problem. So, he is countercultural, so am I. We have to learn how to swim against the current and not just follow the crowd. We have to be able to be countercultural and swim against the current. If you're not a swimmer, it's hard to... I'm a pretty good swimmer, but you're swimming against the current, it's kind of tough, no? You're running into the wind, it's more difficult. So this is something countercultural, but it's countercultural to carry the cross and to be nailed to the cross, right? So we want to try to follow Christ and not simply follow the world. So given that this rule is not abided by, probably by very few of you, I have a follow-up, a backup, supervision. So supervision should be this. Write down, my parents have a right to know what you've seen at the end of the day. So your parents should be able to see what you have been looking at, maybe listening to at the end of the day. So what I've done, letter B is a backup. Because probably most of you already have the phone, so it's a lost cause to say, throw your phone in the ocean. You're probably not going to do that. No? So as a backup, your parents should have supervision. And if they notice that you're looking at trash, obviously they should take the phone away, and you're not going to be able to use the phone for the next 2 or 3 weeks. That's good parents will do that. They should intervene and mete out some type of punishment. Okay? This is for your own good. All right, so that's... okay. Now letter C is addictions. Okay, addictions. I'd like to just you to write down the many addictions you have in the world today. And there are many. I say most people are addicted to something. Most people are addicted to something. So I'm going to write down maybe about 6 or 7 addictions. Addiction to drinking. How many people have problems with drinking and they say, I have no problems? You know, and I have no problems until they drop dead at 51 because their liver has been shot because they've been drinking. They're guzzling it down for 25 years. I like to teach you a Mexican proverb, one of my favorites. No hay peor ciego que aquel que no quiere ver. No hay peor sordo que aquel que no quiere oír. How's your Spanish? It's a good proverb, no? It's a good one. No hay peor ciego que aquel que no quiere ver. No hay peor sordo que aquel que no quiere oír. Anyone want to translate it? I'm a pretty good translator, especially if I'm translating for myself, huh? You've lost all of your Spanish, huh? No hay peor ciego. Ciego means a blind person. Que aquel que no quiere oír. Than he who does not want to hear. Que no hay peor sordo. You hear me? As a deaf person, que no quiere oír. That does not want to hear. So there are many people that have they have vices or addiction, but they don't admit it. So if they don't admit it, they're never gonna overcome it. So the first step for healing is you humbly have to admit that you got a problem. You have to admit it. So drinking is one. And next would be drugs. Drugs. You don't take drugs. Even though some of your friends are taking drugs, just cool it. Don't take it. No. Well, marijuana is legalized. Don't take it anyway. Don't take it anyway. Ah, it helps me relax, Father. I got a lot of stress at the end of the day. I have to kind of let my hair down and relax a little bit. Why don't you go in the pool and swim for an hour? Do that. I do. I'm quadruple your age, you know. I'm not going to take marijuana. I'll go out there, I'll run. And maybe shag some flies in baseball. And play tennis, you know. Play ping pong. You know? Learn how to write a poem. The long-lost art of writing poetry. Probably no one here has ever even thought about writing a poem. I mean, you got to use your mind. If your mind is blown out with drugs, you're not going to be able to utilize the intellectual capacity of linguistics if your mind is shot. Right? Yeah. Okay, what else? Okay, there are other addictions. Write down compulsive buying. Maybe your mother likes to buy a lot of things, huh? Check your wardrobe. You girls have more than 2 dresses? No. One and a half, huh? Maybe three, huh? Look up in your closet. You got 25 dresses. And you're hounding your mother. Mom, I want another dress. Well, you got 25. You haven't even worn five of them. Well, it's a discount. You know, Mom, come on. Let's just, come on. You understand? It's a discount. You got two of them, they're already being eaten by moths. You get the moths in there, they start to eat away the dresses anyway, no? Now you have enough. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Oh! I wonder how many, huh? You got your sneakers and you got the elegant ones you wear to Sunday Mass, huh? Someone you brought some sandals from Michoacan, Sahuay, where Joselito was from, huh? No, I think we have too much. So another addiction is compulsive buying. Okay, write down another one. Another one is the casino. Vino y casino, huh? The casino. Write down another one. Another way it could be you like to eat too much. I mean, we have to eat, right? Nothing wrong with eating. But here's the question. Do you eat to live or live to eat? Good question, huh? That's a little bit of a pun, huh? Do you eat to live or live to eat? What do you think? That's a good question, right, Anna? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Now, if you eat to live, you practice what is called the virtue of temperance, which is the moderate use of created goods. Thomas Aquinas. But if you live only to eat, it's called the sin of gluttony, or la gula. Yeah. Okay, here's another addiction. Okay, you're addicted to your phone. Uh-oh. It's almost as if you have a third hand there, huh? Like it's an extension to your hand, huh? It's like another five fingers, huh? That could be an addiction. What else? Well, addiction to video games or TV. You know, that's a modern fad. Really, I've really never done video games. I think ever in my life, maybe you could tell that I'm from the Middle Ages, no? You know why? Because when I was your age, I preferred to play baseball, to play tag, to play football, to have snowball fights, to run races, to run away from my enemies that were on the other side of the... It was a life that was much more human, no? There's more dialogue, more interaction. No? If you're living by your phone, you can be like a zombie. You're living in a fantasy world that really doesn't exist. Not to say you can't have a video game, if it's good. But not too many. Now, what do you, Hannah, what you prefer to watch soccer or play a video game or to get out in the field or play soccer? Okay. What? Okay. Yeah, me too. I mean, I like baseball. Hell, I like a little bit of baseball. The Yankees are winning, huh? But give me a bat. Yeah. No, I'll knock the ball through the sky. No? Even though I'm an old man, huh? Hey, give me a bat. Yeah. Let's go for it, huh? So you can be addicted almost to anything. And the interesting thing is, if you don't have God as the center of your life, you're going to have an addiction. Right, Belinda? That's what I've really come to the conclusion. If you don't have God as the center of your life, you're going to have some type of addiction. How much time do you spend in front of the mirror? Huh? I think I did about 2.5 minutes on a long day, huh? Pays have short hair, no? Nice hot shower. I'm ready. Let's go for it, no? Spend so much time in the mirror. You can be late for school. Go to a beauty parlor, huh? How much money? Have you ever gone to a beauty parlor? Maybe how much money is it to go to a beauty parlor? $100. And sometimes it doesn't even work, you know? There you go, $100. Throw $100 to the wind, huh? Or the winds of Santa Ana comes, and there goes the beauty parlor, the hairdo up in the wind, huh? $100, no? Come from a big family. My dad would cut our hair. If you get 9 in the family, you save a lot of money, no? And see, I wonder if you'd be able to understand this. My dad was a jokester, like telling jokes. I wonder if you'd be able to pick this up. He said the worst haircut can be remedied in 4 weeks. Hannah's the only one that understands it, huh? Jessica? It's a good one, no? But you have to have a sense of humor. The young people, you don't have a sense of humor. You should pray that one day God will give you a sense of humor. You're able to laugh at a joke, huh? Now, I tell a joke, even the one that I could have understood in first grade, I have to have my helper here, raise, laugh now, the joke is finished, huh? Okay, here's one. Why did the guy throw the alarm clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. Ha 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 ha! Okay. Grace, you picked that up? Okay, good. Why is that a good one? The worst haircut can be remedied in 4 weeks. Jessica? Because in 4 weeks, your hair is going to grow back, okay? Usually. Maybe sometimes quicker. Okay. So those are addictions. If we don't focus on God, we're going to have some type of addiction. What about the modern drug? The modern drug, write it down. The modern drug is pornography. Yeah. The modern drug is pornography. That's the modern drug. Yeah. They say it's more powerful than cocaine. The way it grips you, grabs you. And experts will say when you're a teenager, because of your hormones are changing, you're kicking into puberty and you're changing and you're developing into a young woman, you can see it one time and you're addicted. Yeah? Not always, but it could be. Because of the change of your hormones and everything, you could see it one time, you're addicted. So we have to do all we possibly can. We don't become addicted to anything. We want the center of our life to be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Amen? We want Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to be the very center of our lives. Right, Carmen? Say, Padre. Okay. Dangers. Okay, put down. I'm going to give you a very famous proverb that I was brought up and raised with, and it is, idleness is the workshop of the devil. Write that down. Idleness. Idleness, if you don't know how to spell it, idleness is the workshop of the devil. Have you ever heard the word idleness? Maybe not. Idleness means laziness. It's the workshop of the devil. So if you don't have anything to do, the devil is going to give you a lot to do. So, one right down next to this idleness is the workshop of the devil. Write down, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. There are three basic ways in which we work. You work physically, mentally, and spiritually. Okay, physically, you're digging the ditch, taking the trash out, washing the dishes. Mentally, studying. Spiritually, you're praying. You got to cultivate your hands, your mind, and your heart. Amen. So the three different dimensions of work. You got to cultivate your hands. Don't be lazy. Cultivate your mind. This is a pretty good class, but I've taught confirmation for many years. You know why I don't like confirmation students to read? Because many times they couldn't read, or they're butchering it. And for me, it's kind of like this. Ah! 14, 15-year-olds reading at a second grade level. Wow. I think this is a little bit more accelerated class, but I said I give up. I'm reading one. I could have read better when I was in second grade. No. It's not that the kid, the boy or girl, is a tontito, a dummy, but intellectually lazy. I think anyone, if I had you for 10 half-hour lessons, if you're reading in a second grade level, you give me 10 lessons, I shoot you up to ninth grade level. Or just give me, you know, give me 10 half hours with you. Yeah, I'm a teacher. I could lift you from a lower level to the 10th grade level, but give me 10 half-hour sessions. So. But I'd make you work. And Padre Escobita, hey, how he makes me work? Yeah, you're not going to, no pain, no gain, the athletes say, right? No pain, no gain. So, make sure that you cultivate all your talents to the max. Okay, internet filter. Okay, there are filters that can block trash, and I'll give you a couple. Write down covenant. Do you know this one? Looseeyes.com. That's probably about the best one out there. And they have safeeyes.com. So covenanteyes.com and safeeyes.com. Those are filters that will block the trash. Man, it doesn't mean that you're never going to fall into it, but you want to utilize all the different means at your disposition to block trash from getting into your eyes and your minds. Okay, now, let's move from... So those are some basic ideas on utilizing modern technology. No? Would I have given you perfect? No, but there's some ideas. Some ideas that can help out. Okay, number five, company. St. Paul makes a blunt and to the point statement, bad company corrupts morals. Okay, write down next to number five. Friends. Friends. How would you define a friend? I know you're thinking, well, he's faithful to me in good times and bad. Oh, you know, I don't really agree with that. You know who are really faithful friends? Cholos. Cholos. Oh, we can get tons of cholos in the gardens. Are you kidding? Most of you don't live in the gardens, but the gardens are famous for the cholos. No? They're called the Los Loquitos. They're in Artesia, they're called the Chivas. No? You don't know, I've been around here even before you were born. No? But you got Los Loquitos here, you got Chivas in Artesia, and you don't cross over the barrier. They're like pit bulls. And they'll shoot for the kill. So you can say, friends, I'm faithful to my friend. Yeah, faithful to your friend that's shooting and killing someone from Artesia or from Compton. It's not that type of friend. They're faithful. They're faithful in stealing and shooting and killing and selling drugs. Hey, we're faithful to each other. Their friendship is based on vice rather than on virtue. A lot of friendships are based on vice rather than on virtue. So, I'll give you a good definition of a friend. A friend helps me to be a better friend to Jesus Christ. Amen? What do you think, Hannah? So, true friend is someone who helps me to be a better friend to Jesus Christ. What do you think, Mary? Yeah. So, if your friend is going to help you to get closer to Jesus Christ, then he's a good friend. And if you're not married yet, and hopefully you're not going to get married within the next year, you're too young, but for the love of God, when you choose someone to get married, you want to choose someone that's going to help you to get to heaven. You hear that? And help your kids to get to heaven. Yeah. No. Guys, she's a good-looking babe. Yeah. Not going to get you too far. She gets up in the morning, she has bad breath anyway, huh? Right? Oh, yeah. I know what the girl's like, the five B's, huh? Five B's, right? You're looking for a guy that's got brains, beauty, brawn, and big bucks, huh? Called the five B's, huh? You hear that, Carmen? Brains. Going to Harvard. Beauty, good looking. Brawn, muscles. Big bucks. A millionaire, huh? I think that's a criteria that a lot have. This materialistic society. Brains, and then you go to one of the Ivy League colleges. Huh? Maybe the Ivy League colleges. Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and Dartmouth, and Columbia, and Brown. Those ones where I come from on the East Coast. No, the big guns. No, the big intellectuals. Huh? No, you want to make sure you marry someone that's going to help you to get to heaven. Doesn't mean he just has to graduate from Hawaiian Gardens in elementary school. Okay? You might be able to go beyond that, fine. But someone that's going to help you and your kids to get to heaven. Amen? That should be the first criteria. You're going to help me and my family to get to heaven. Amen? Okay? And then, you should all have friends, but make sure that your friend and you yourself are going to help that person to get to heaven. So you're probably not going to have 100 friends. You might have 3 good friends. Now you're not going to have 100. Got 3 solid good friends. That could be enough. Now I'm going to tell you something that is almost impossible for you, but it would be the ideal. Are you listening? It'd be great if your sister could be your best friend. Father, that's impossible. You don't know her. You just see her when she comes to confirmation. If you really knew her, well, okay, none of us are perfect. But you know what? When I was growing up, my older brother was my best friend. How about that? And my older brother right now is my age. Can you think about it? He's my age. We're called Irish twins. You probably think that's impossible. No, my mom and dad had a lot of kids back to back to back to back. So today's the 24th, right? Mm-hmm. So Monday, he's going to be a year older than me for another 11 months. Then we'll hit February, I'm the same age as my older brother for 11 months. So right now we're the same age. How about that? And we were good friends. We were good friends. Paper boys together, we played ball together, went to school together. He was probably the best student. I was about the best athlete in the school, and he admired me. I admired him. We weren't jealous. We weren't jealous. No, he's going to head off to the Ivy League, which he did do. I was an orthopedic surgeon. No? And I played baseball all the way into college, so never became a Yankee, no? But played on the college level. No? Proud of each other. They were both, we had different talents, no? My parents tried to really foster, not to become jealous or envy, but admire the talents that your brothers and sisters have. Right? That's a good sign. So, who knows? Maybe your best friend can become your sister, huh? Yeah. It's possible. Don't look at me that way. It's possible. Okay, number six. Avoid idleness. I already talked about this, but I think it's good to review it. There is a saying, so true with respect to acquiring the virtue of purity. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. How true? If you're idle, the devil is at work in you. Okay, so write down, work physically, mentally, and spiritually. Work physically, mentally, and spiritually. Okay, number seven. I'm going to give them a little bit of Ignatian spirituality now. What do you think? They can learn the basics of desolation, right? I mean, they're teenagers. They know what it is. So this concept now is very important to understand when you're going to be tempted by the devil. Okay? So you want to know when you're going to be tempted by the devil? Okay, this is the number that will tell you. And this is until you die. Until you die, this is the ground where the devil launches his missiles to attack us. Desolation. Be very careful when you find yourself in a state of desolation. In a word, this means when you find yourself kind of sad and depressed. That is when the devil aims his weapons for the kill. St. Ignatius gives us four tools to use in desolation. Okay, so what we mean by this is when you kind of feel lousy. You feel sad, you feel depressed, feel no one really seems to understand me. My life doesn't have meaning. No one seems to really care about me. My life is without purpose. My life is an exercise of futility. I'm kind of like in a dark tunnel. I'm never going to get out of it. Kind of like a Charles Dickens novel where you got the clouds and the rain descending upon me the way we had the past 3 weeks here in California. You know? Rainy weather within, so to speak. When you have that, that's when the devil is going to tempt you. And he's going to go after your kryptonite. You ever watch Superman, any of you? Never heard of Superman, huh? Never heard of Superman. Well, Superman's strong or weak? He was strong, but when he was exposed to kryptonite, then he was very weak. So you have to know, what's your kryptonite? What's your kryptonite? We all have our own kryptonite. So the devil knows your kryptonite. So when you're in desolation, Ignatius gives us four different tools that we can use to help us to fight against this desolation and not fall into our kryptonite or our weak point. Okay, letter A is, you feel sad and depressed and you're tempted to do something bad. Letter A is you got to pray. Prayer. Give up prayer, you're lost. The devil will bowl you over if you don't pray. St. Alphonsus says there's no such thing as weak people or strong people, but people that know how to pray and don't know how to pray. Okay? We know how to pray, we're strong. The letter B would be meditation. What I would suggest is you all have a Bible at home. Okay, meditate Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Beautiful psalm. It's known as the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. You're feeling kind of sad and depressed? Close the door, read that slowly in front of a picture of Jesus, and little by little you're going to be pulled out of that desolation. Okay, letter C is penance. By penance means give up something. Give up something. Sacrifice something. And note, you're thinking, I know what I'm going to give up. I'd like to give up school. Okay? No, you can't give that up, okay? Give up that Milky Way bar that you like. I like Milky Way bar. You too, Grace? They're good, huh? Give up those M&Ms, no? Give up a Mars bar, huh? Give up that Coca-Cola. Drink warm water. A little bit of lemon in it, huh? A little bit of penance, because Jesus says some devils are kicked out only by prayer and penance. Some devils are kicked out by prayer and penance. And letter D is examine your conscience. Examine your conscience to see, why do I feel so sad? Oh, my mommy prefers my little brother. Well, the poor guy broke his leg. I mean, should get a help? Yeah, my mommy has preference for my older sister. Well, she got to decide whether or not she's going to go to law school or not. She has to have some more time with Mariano, okay? Yeah. Okay, so those are four spiritual tools to use to be able to get out of the desolation. Got that? Okay. Letter 8. Frequent confession. Sacrament confession serves to heal. Jesus is the divine physician. Confession can serve as preventive medicine or healing medicine. Preventive medicine or healing medicine. Now, why is your mother going to get a mammogram and check your breasts? See whether or not you might have, breast cancer. Why do you get a colonoscopy? If you're 50, you should have your first colonoscopy. You know what that is? In your colon, you might get colon cancer. Why do you go to the dentist? See if you've got cavities, huh? Otherwise, you end up with a lot of root canals. I've already had three of them, so it's no joyride. Hopefully you're not have to have any root canals, huh? At least they pulled out the right tooth, okay? Glad about that, huh? Be pretty sad if they pulled out the wrong tooth, right, Hannah? I'm sure it's happened, no? So there's preventive medicine with respect to breast cancer, with respect to colon cancer, as well as with respect to cavities. Spiritually, you go to confession, that can serve to prevent you from falling into sin, or if you've fallen, to get out of it. Okay. So you should all go at least once a month. You know? You feel better afterward. You know? Feel better. Right? You feel better. You feel, it's like you got a load on your, you commit a lot of sins, like you got a, you light a sack of cement on your shoulders and you confess, you're like, I'm a new person. Find like you're a bird in a cage. You go to confession, you feel free, you're flying high. Feel kind of dirty. Playing soccer in the mud, you better take a bath. Don't come to confirmation like that, Hannah. Huh? So, it's like taking a spiritual shower. I feel great. Spiritual shower, I feel great. And it, you know, it's interesting. Someone could come in and confess, you listen, confess 100,000 sins in 3 minutes. And if I say, absolve me of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all forgiven. Wow. Doesn't that blow your mind, Belinda? Someone can come in with 100,000 sins. I haven't made a confession to the Father in 50 years. And gets all that out. I give absolution. Gone with the wind. Wow. What a great grace it is to be a Catholic. You know? Right? What a great grace it is to be a Catholic, that you don't have to live with guilt. You know, you live with guilt, that's hell on earth. It is hell. You're living with a guilty conscience, that's hell on earth. Probably heard of Shakespeare. Shakespeare says, conscience doth make cowards of all of us. Huh? A little bit of Will Shakespeare. No? And in the quiet of the night, we don't want to encounter a dirty conscience because it's a becomes a hangman, huh? So we can live with a clean conscience. Right, Mary? Belinda, huh? You really feel good when you have your conscience at peace, right? Yeah. All right, so Holy Communion, no better remedy in the world to conquer any sin than to receive Holy Communion. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Okay, right down next to that, I'll go to Mass and Communion as often as possible. We are calculating. We don't have too many classes, do we? Really, very few. We got one, and then we got Easter break, and then they've got very few. So as we come to an end of confirmation, make sure that you always have a great love for Mass. Okay? Have a great love for Mass. Okay, then we have the last point is love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Experience shows in the lives of the saints that a tender, filial, fervent devotion to Mary and the Immaculate Heart of Mary is a powerful means to attain purity. The following some Marian practices to have Mary's protection. So, morning offering. So write down, my first prayer to offer myself to Jesus through Mary. My first prayer. Offer myself to Jesus through Mary. Okay, number, letter B. Scapular. Wear your scapular. As a sign of your consecration to Mary. Or your scapular as a sign of consecration to Mary. Call on Mary. Okay, write down letter C. In temptations, call on Mary. Letter D. Rosary. Write down the family that prays together, stays together. The family that prays together, stays together. And images of Mary. Okay, have an attractive painting, picture, or statue of Mary in your room. Get rid of that gothic diabolical monster you have hanging on your wall, okay? Get rid of anything. Okay, we haven't finished yet. Okay, there's a closing. Friends of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, let us all enter fully into spiritual combat with God's help. Aware of spiritual combat. We can utilize the weapons that God has given to us. We can win the battle and attain the imperishable crown of eternal life. May we all one day be a jewel in the crown of Mary to contemplate the utter beauty of the Trinity for all eternity. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You will see it Mass on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to sit down.